Hi, welcome to a currently unnamed film podcast. I'm Jessica.
I'm Hanma.
I'm Space.
And today we're going to be talking about Everything Everywhere All at Once. Any opinions?
You go first, Space.
Well, Everything Everywhere All at Once was written and directed by the Daniels, as you know if you saw the movie, because of that one fake out bit where they pretended that the movie ended at like an hour in.
Some people genuinely got up in my cinema.
Seriously?
They actually started getting up. I was like, you can't possibly take my
All right. I was thinking, okay, so like overall, I like love the film. I thought it was really good. That specific joke, I was like, is this like specific enough to like this movie? Like the movie isn't like that much about like fourth wall breaking or anything.
But like, it's more related to specifically to Michelle Yeoh in that fact, as in like earlier they were showing clips of her actual red carpets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like on Crazy Rich Asians and stuff. And then when it gets to that part, she is an actress who is Michelle Yeoh, but named Evelyn Wang, playing a character in Everything Everywhere All at Once. Because if you look at the posters for the movie, they're at the premiere of the movie we're watching.
So it
was set up.
Oh, cool. Okay. So like, and like when the movie like juts out of itself at that point, and then we like... And then the movie we're watching becomes the cinema that Michelle Yeoh is watching. Is that, have we already seen that Michelle Yeoh is playing Evelyn in Everything Everywhere All at Once before that bit?
Evelyn in the movie is playing someone named Evelyn in another universe.
Okay.
It's slightly confusing. I think it's supposed to be jarring.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. But in my memories, the movie just like picks up there. Like it doesn't like stop there at all. Like after that fake.
Wasn't that the end of part one?
Was it?
I think that's not... There's a little bit after that before it goes into directly the end of Act 1 because like... She's back in the apartment for the next... Every start of each section, she's back in her apartment.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's exactly the same shot.
No way. Seriously?
Yeah. Like, she's always in her apartment with the receipts.
Whoa.
And something like this, and there's a big... black circle on the receipt, like the donut.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Oh, I wanted to say the whole movie. Because, yeah, me and Hammer watched it together yesterday. did you know that the googly eye...
is a reverse of the donut?
Yeah, a reverse color.
I did know that.
Mind blown. Yeah, do you know anything else about, like, why the googly eye is a motif in the film?
No. I think it's just kind of, like, playful, I guess.
Mm.
I think like it being reverse of the donut, I think is the main, or the bagel, I guess.
Yeah, I know. But...
we don't really have everything bagels in the UK.
Everything bagels?
That's a concept in America. It's just where you go up to like a bagel stand, you're like, I have an everything bagel.
Mm.
So that is a reference to an everything bagel.
I see. That's what when she was saying, what if you put everything on a bagel?
Yes, it's a thing in America to ask for an everything bagel.
I see.
I'm so knowledgeable on the stage.
Yeah. I see.
What did... You're like one for filming, like actual like visuals.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of the visuals of the movie?
I thought they were really cool. I like the color scheme was like green and orange or something.
It changed throughout. There are very specific references to movies. Because we have like 2001 Space Odyssey.
Oh, yeah, I like that bit.
With the apes, and then also I've forgotten his name, but there's a very famous Asian director, which is being referenced in the alleyway scene with a very green color scheme and the slightly like the low shutter speed people. That is a reference to a director that I've forgotten the name of.
Which alleyway scene?
You know when he's saying like, I would have been happy.
Oh yeah.
Doing laundry with you.
Yeah.
Like that, and the cinema in the alleyway is very specific.
Mm.
Yeah, the film clearly has a love of film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember reading on IMDb that they referenced, Matrix directly.
The bullet, turning into the googly eye. Isn't that a Matrix? Because he stops bullets. Like.
I'm
indicating with my hands, but I realised no one can see that.
It was when she's like crouching down on the phone when that lady's trying to kill her.
I think there are multiple Matrix references then.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I really... should watch The Matrix. I tried watching it and I like fell asleep after like half an hour. But I don't think it was boring. I was just very tired. But I need to try again.
I watched this movie specifically after having 7 GCSEs in 4 days. And I thought, oh, I'll go to the cinema as a reward. I actually couldn't comprehend what was going on screen. So I had to go watch it again.
Wait, what do you mean? Like, you were so tired?
I was so tired because I had 7 exams in 4 days.
Yeah.
I couldn't comprehend this weird multiverse bending cinema. Like, I got so bored during the third act and I was like, I actually don't know what happened.
Interesting.
And I didn't. For some reason, I completely missed Joy being pulled out of the bagel. It is quite a significant plot.
Wait, so you just...
I thought that, like, that version of her died, and I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
This is a really odd movie. And then I rewatched it, and I was like, no, that's more what I expected. Like, she should have got pulled out of the bagel, because
yeah.
She did.
Did you not see the bit where they were, like, hugging, which, like, went on for, like,
no,
five
I saw
minutes at the end of
that
the film?
Bit.
Oh, you thought that was a different Joy?
No, I
oh,
thought
that's
that
grim.
Was a different Joy.
Oh, that's really grim.
And I was like, that is... There's something so messed up about that. Like, it's a more interesting
it's
movie.
It's even worse that they don't, like, they wouldn't acknowledge it. And they're just like, oh, yeah,
no, because she was like, oh, I need to let you go. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is very clearly a mental health allegory.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, Joy has depression.
Oh, interesting.
So I mean, like, trigger warning, I guess.
Yeah.
But I took that, that was her killing herself. Like,
yeah,
that was
yeah,
very
yeah,
much
yeah,
a suicide
yeah,
allegory.
Yeah.
And I didn't guess see her getting pulled out the bagel. So I thought,
oh,
like,
wow, yeah.
Just, like, let her go.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, it's basically, like, a mother not accepting her kid, and then kid gets depressed, and then wants to kill herself, and then the mother changes, and then kid and mother are together.
Why did you say that so ominously? So his fingers placed like a supervillain.
The kid and mother are reunited once more.
You need a white cat on your lap. You've got the spinny
yeah.
chair.
Yeah, we all have spinny chairs. Apparently it increases podcast like chat by like 40%.
But, you know, I'm having a good time. I'm like, so yeah.
No, but...
It's just like these really long awkward pauses because this is our first one.
No, yeah, yeah.
What did you think of the end? You remember there's that bit where it was like...
Oh, shoot. We never gave a summary of the movie. Rookie
if you
mistake.
Haven't watched it by this point, go watch Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's incredibly important in terms of cinema history.
Oh, really? You think so?
I think it's going to be one of the defining films of this decade.
Whoa. Why?
Because several reasons. First off, this was a movie with a budget of, I think, $25 million.
That blew my mind. I couldn't believe it.
It had, I think, four or five VFX guys.
Yeah. None of them were formally trained.
It earned globally at the box office $100.7 million. And it is kind of the reinvigoration of the mid-budget movie, which has phased out over the past few years.
Oh.
So I think this also cements A24's place as a studio, because I didn't know who they were before this.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, it's quite... Mid-tier movies have completely gone. They used to be a very important part of like cinema and how it's formed. It's a bit like the middle class kind of fading out in modern day, like it's being mirrored in movies.
Hard right into political alley.
I don't think that's hard right to say. I think there is like, this is going into politics, but there is like
split. I'm not saying you're on the right. I'm saying like as though you're driving down the lane of cinema lane or whatever, and then hard right into politics alley.
Oh, I thought you were like hard right.
No.
She's a fascist.
No.
It's like that's very dramatic what I'm saying.
No. Saying that would also be hard right into political alley. Or hard left.
Okay, let's bring it back to the movie. What did you think of the aspect ratio changing?
That was really cool. It made it so much easier to follow like what was going on, because there was a different one. There's like one which is sort of normal for the normal world. And then when she went into other ones, it was like cinematic. And then when it was like flashbacks to the past, it went to like the 4:3 with film grain. So
interesting. I did not pick that up. I just noticed that like it was like really skinny, and I was like, oh, is the whole thing skinny? And then like 10 minutes later, I like checked again if it was skinny, and it still wasn't. I was like, oh, I guess
it is. Kept on changing. I couldn't really. That's easier to see on a TV than it is in a cinema. Like the aspect ratio changing. Like it's obvious in the elevator, obviously, but like after that point, couldn't really see it. I guess. That kind of carries into like ancestral trauma and the idea that this movie is carrying through with that. And it's been quite a like poignant theme in modern cinema recently of like, especially in Asian families, because Turning Red also released.
I love Turning Red.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
But the idea of like the grandpa rejecting her, and so she rejects her child to try and impress the grandpa. I at first thought that was really tacked on at the end because it meant that there had to be another conclusion.
Oh, of like...
like another plot line had to finish.
In what sense?
I thought the ending was just very busy. Like, because you had the thing with Joy, because that's the main plot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was like... trying to... you had the thing with her husband... that concluded, and then you had Joy had like three conclusions, and then you also had to conclude the plot with her father.
Oh yeah, with
I just felt like the ending was a bit long.
You know, it went from, it was like they'd all finished and they were good, and like she was on that like raccoon guy's head chasing after the raccoon, and they were all like happy, and then they all went bad. And then they all went good again.
Yeah, yeah, I seem to remember that as well, yeah. Yeah, I just remember during the Joy, like, falling almost into the portal thing, I remember thinking, like, at one point, okay.
We know you're going to pull her out.
Yeah, like
we know the conclusion of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, they were allowed to string me on for, like, a while. Like, I probably would have taken it for a lot, but it just like a few,
I mean,
like,
sleep-deprived me fully thought that they didn't carry it.
You must have just, like, micro-sleeped when they pulled her out.
I actually think I fell asleep.
Yeah. This reminds me of something else. Was it? Oh, yeah. Have you seen Breaking Bad?
It's on my to-watch list. Everyone keeps on telling me I need to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I don't have time to watch like seasons of a TV show.
Yeah, I know. That was basically me as well. When I was like, well, I was like not watching TV for a while, and then I was like super sick and I couldn't be productive. I couldn't do anything. And I was like, what am I going to do?
And I'm, you
like,
see, when I was ill, I watched Severance.
Is that comfort show?
No, it's actually quite nerve-wracking.
Is it? But I mean, Breaking Bad was also really nerve-wracking because I didn't want to rewatch stuff because that would be my comfort, like just like rewatching cartoons. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to give up and watch stuff again, I'll watch something new that I've been meaning to watch.
My comfort show is just rewatching the final season of Daredevil like 500 times.
The final season specifically?
Yes.
Do you not need the context of the other seasons?
Well, no, I have watched them. I just, season three is far superior to the other two.
Is it really? Well, I'm sorry that you had to suffer through season one and two.
One's fine. Two's pretty bad. Three is a masterpiece of filmmaking, and I will take no criticism.
I see. Yeah, but... oh, yeah, I was just saying, like, in one point in Breaking Bad, like, there's, like, a lot of tension for a while with, like, the same antagonist. And then literally, and this has been going on for episodes, and then the second I'm like, okay, I'm, like, slightly bored of this, like basically that exact second, intensity, and they, like, do crazy stuff with that antagonist. I wish I hadn't said the show, because then I could have just spoiled it.
No, it sounds good. I've heard it has good pacing.
Yeah, it has good pacing. Yeah,
you just told me it had good pacing.
Yeah,
so.
I find it interesting, the idea of like, oh, like literally you like pull on like the audience, the watcher, like the viewer, as far as you can possibly get with the suspense. And then the second they're like a tiny bit bored, you like pay off that suspense. Or like,
presumably, yeah, but that's like, it involves a lot of knowledge of when the audience is bored.
Yeah.
Which might be different for the writers.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's their character.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. It is possible to make stuff involving your character that's deep.
Yeah, I know.
Boring.
I think it's hard to tell.
Oh, yeah.
When it is boring, when it's not, because obviously you have all of the knowledge of their internal workings, which the audience doesn't.
Yeah.
So their mind is very interesting to you. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to end up writing a good story. Because they could just be staring at a brick wall for like 5 minutes. They could be having very interesting thoughts. Yeah.
So then is that easier in writing?
I think it just involves making sure, it's kind of like a combination of the directing and writing, I think, because you need to make sure that the audience understands the visual cues that you're giving, or like emotions are portrayed in a way that is understandable. There's the brick wall thing was actually, because we were talking about Daredevil.
Yeah.
Wilson Fisk staring at a white wall and that being representing of his father and like abusive home, and they do such a good job of showing that. And then every single time a stupid white wall appears, you're like, oh my god, he's remembering his abusive childhood.
Wow. Damn.
And it's like, that is so well done.
That is very clever. Yeah, I mean, in Everything Everywhere All Around, The
it has to come out as a stream, otherwise it doesn't come.
The girl, whenever Joy was sad, like she could do her eyebrows like exactly like that, and it was like so like sad to look at, like whenever she was about to cry.
I think her name's Stephanie Hughes.
Yeah.
She was in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. If anyone's ever watched that.
Was she also in Crazy Rich Asians?
No. Her only credits are the Be More Chill musical, where she plays Christine.
Wait, is Be More Chill the one that's like, freeze your brain?
No, that's Heather's.
Oh. wait, Be More Chill, is that a guy that I'd kind of be into a guy that I'd never be into?
Yes, yes. That's, yeah, her, okay. That's her singing.
Oh,
that's
is
her
it?
Song.
Is it really?
Yeah, she plays Christine.
Does she play it in the Spotify soundtrack?
She's the original cast.
Oh, is she? Cool, okay.
So that was her original role, and then she went Mrs. Maisel, which is season one's very good, and the rest of it kind of drops off, but she only comes in like season three, I think.
Oh no, okay.
But she's very good in that. Mm. And then this, which is like weird progression, but okay.
Yeah, I mean she's fantastic in this. I watched the movie for the first time in July and haven't seen it since then. And I was like thinking like they were gonna keep it secret that Jobu Tabaki was the girl until like way later in. But like you basically see it after like her second appearance.
It's so obvious though, because she has such a specific form of acting.
Oh, you think so?
I could tell from her body language when I watched it. Like I don't think it's like a shocking like, oh my god, it's Joy. I think it's like you see it and you're like, that's Joy.
It was shocking when it was like revealed that it was the mum's fault that her kid turned into the...
Oh, yeah, that was interesting.
I think that was shocking. I just thought that was a plot development.
It was like...
It's interesting. Yeah. I think it definitely mirrors the relationship on our Earth.
Does it? Does it really? Like, she... Like, on our Earth, she's not really forcing Joy to do anything. She's just like, you're fat. Like, I don't really accept the fact that you have a girlfriend.
No, like, it's like pushing her to be this idealistic version of her child, which she can't actually achieve, to try and please the person she couldn't be to her father.
True, yeah. So then
she has to be the perfect, like, what are they called? Jumpers? Yeah. I don't know.
Verse jumpers. I see. And then that screws with her permanently. Then it gives her super depression, right?
I don't think that's true. I think that was more like the same way that she was blaming Joy's depression on her being gay and saying like, oh, this is always something that's wrong with you. I don't think that Jobu Tabaki was messing with our Joy's head.
Yeah.
I think it is, she is just depressed and Joy,
yeah,
not Joy, Evelyn just can't take the fact that her child isn't perfect and there might be something chemically wrong.
Yeah. Wait, no, it's not supposed to be that it's chemically wrong. It's supposed to be that it's Evelyn's fault.
I don't think it's... Sorry.
Wait, do you think at the end of the movie when Evelyn is like, okay, Joy, I will love you now and I will respect you now, like Joy like doesn't get better? I mean, yeah.
No, I do think she gets better, but I don't think that I mean, depression's quite complicated because even if it is environmental, there's still like a chemical imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into my chemistry. I don't do chemistry. I didn't even do chemistry GCSE. Yeah. I don't think they say it's like entirely Evelyn's fault, because I don't think mental health is that simplistic.
Yeah.
Or you can simplify it that much. I think it was more that she was never given the support.
I see. And then that worsened it.
Yeah, because then you have that shouting match at the end where she's like, you never come and visit and you are eating unhealthy. It's like, Joy isn't perfect. She's not supposed to be perceived as perfect.
Mm.
And it's not all Evelyn's fault. Like, there is a little bit of, she's a person making her own decisions with her own life. But Evelyn's not helping.
Yeah. I see. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
I think the overarching, just to drag it onto a different topic.
Yeah.
The overarching theme of this film is the idea of nihilism.
Mm.
And like an influx of information.
Nothing matters. Do you remember that bit? She's like, do you know what you get when you stare into the center of a bagel?
I really like her little song afterwards. Like,
I am Jobu Tabaki.
You just invented the song. But, no, like, when she was looking, like, into a bagel.
Oh yeah, that song was awesome.
There's
yeah.
actually a remix of it on the soundtrack.
Is there really?
It's not. I didn't like the remix. I think I just want to listen to the original.
Is it like a really like heavily stylized remix, or is it like basically the song?
No, it's quite heavily stylized. It's just her saying it, but like mixed up with like they're like a bagel.
I'm a sucker for remixes like that. And one day I'll learn.
There's I don't know the actual band, but there's Mitski. Does a song for this, like the, you know, da, 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 da. Like that song from the movie.
No.
Yeah, at the beginning of part two, you yeah. know, there's like that, like very nice musical cue.
Oh, kind of. Is it?
That's a song. Is it? That's an actual music? Song. I think it's synth, technically. Just to correct you. As a GCSE music.
Technically,
it's a synth.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really funny how part two started like half an hour from the end of the film, and then part three started like 5 minutes from the end of the film.
I really love it when movies do epilogues.
Really?
Like, it's such a feature of, to segue, it's such a feature of Bong Joon-ho's filmmaking. Have any of you watched Parasite?
No. Is that with that with a Y, though? Parasite Sorry? With a Y. Para S-Y-T.
No. The one that won the Oscar.
Is it the one about the family who all get like a job at the same
Yes,
place?
Yes, it is. It's my favourite movie. And you should all... Actually, we're going to watch that at some point. Because I'm going to force you.
Okay.
I've watched his entire filmography, but he does this thing at the end of all of his movies where the film concludes, all the story arcs are done, and then you just get like a scene or a shot afterwards. Just summing it up of like where the characters are afterwards, like how it's affecting their lives, how they're moving forward. And some of them are like incredibly short, but it just gives such a nice sense of finality. Like, I didn't come out of this movie being like, I want a sequel.
Yeah.
Like, I don't ever want to see these characters again.
No, I don't want a sequel either. Inside Out is getting a sequel. Did you hear about that?
Why?
I know.
I didn't hear about that. Did you hear that they're turning Parasite into it? They're making a TV show.
Are they? Okay, I have no emotional reaction to this.
No, but like, why? Yeah. It was like announced 5 minutes after it was made.
Really?
Well, no, it was after they won the Oscars, which was like, obviously the year that it was made, because that's how the Oscars work.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're making an American TV show. People just can't be bothered to read subtitles, can they?
What?
They're making an American TV show version of Parasite.
Is it French?
I'm missing Korean. Some...
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Yeah, okay.
Didn't have to have that context.
Yeah.
It's why Donald Trump hated the Oscars for a bit.
Because
a foreign movie won an American film festival. I would like to know that. I'm putting very heavy air quotes around this.
Yeah. American. We're not American.
I didn't realize that. Best film. Also, someone was describing it and they were like, it should have been 1917? I was like, that's a British movie. That's not even American.
Yeah.
You just got to think against foreign speaking countries.
Yeah. I mean, occasionally in like YouTube comment sections, I like once saw a comment. I don't remember what the context was, but it was like something, 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 blah, 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 in our country. Blah, blah. That was like, what country? What country are you talking about? And then in the comments, it was like, oh yeah, America is the only country. Haha. It was very funny, trust me.
It sounds great. Yeah,
it was a really funny comment.
I love hearing about the second hand.
Second hand? Oh, hearing about the experience second hand. Yeah, I mean, I have a few YouTube comments saying that I'll just sort of... YouTube comments are like the funniest thing ever. Like, they're just like so funny, and I don't know.
This is
like,
such a segue from what we're talking about.
Probably Joy watches YouTube.
I don't know, maybe. Sure, yeah. Does she?
The movie takes place in 2018 or so. Oh wait, no, it came out this year. Do you think the movie takes place in 2022? It making live action movies is so fast. Like, all of my like understanding of how long movies took was like trained on like animated movies, which take like 6 years, but like real life movies you can make it like
a year.
Oh
my god, did you I haven't watched because it scares me, but have you seen Mad God?
No, never heard of it.
It took 30 years to make.
Oh boy,
it's an animated movie.
Is it?
Yeah, it's claymation.
Oh,
it's gorgeous, but it took 30 years.
Wow.
Which I can't imagine working on one project that long.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody and they were like working on one documentary for 5 years and like work, and then just started working on another one. I was like, that seems like so like unbearable to like work on the same thing for 5 years. And they were like, they enjoy it. Like,
Well, and I guess like people are very meticulous about stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think one that crosses the 10-year mark, just give up.
Dude. No, they were saying that like they preferred it the longer it was. And they were like, they considered just working on the same thing for like 20 years.
I guess it makes sense with documentaries. Because like you're documenting real life.
Yeah, yeah. They were making a documentary. What about you, Hamza? How long would you have to work on something before you're like, screw this forever?
Day or two.
Really?
No.
Don't get into the filmmaking industry.
No. I probably a few years, but it seems
really?
like after a while.
Well, if you're going to make any movie, it takes.
Yeah. It seems like after a while you'd like say everything you have to say and then you're just like doing it just for the sake of finishing it.
I feel like saying something and actually making something are two very different things. Because once you finish the script, you've probably said something. And I guess storyboarding, like you're saying more in the direction. But like after that point, once it's in like trying to pitch it to people in pre-production and then post-production, pre-production and like not even entering pre-production, but just getting it to someone who can see it can take years on years.
Yeah.
Like the fact he was making a movie for 30 years, like, there's job security right there. Like, forget about artistic pursuits.
Yeah, wait, yeah, who was paying him for 30 years?
I think, I'm gonna assume it, I guess there was a studio behind it, but I think it was an art grant or he was working alongside things. So I know it was like a lot of interns who weren't getting paid but were getting credit. So the animator's list is really, really long. It's just, I can't imagine working on something like that because it's a horror movie. It's like very, it's body horror a lot of it. And I'm like, I wouldn't work on that for 30 years.
Interesting.
Okay. Back to everything.
Yeah. Did you see that epic body horror scene?
Sausage fingers. That was body horror. I'm scarred for life.
Really? I mean, I found the sausage scene really gross. I found it really interesting between the sausage scene and the Ratatouille stuff.
I was about to say Ratatouille, but that's...
You know Ratatouille? Oh my God. Whoa. Wait, can we do Ratatouille? Can we do Ratatouille, please?
We're not watching Ratatouille.
No, please. Let's do it. Please, we have to.
No.
Please. Yes, come on.
No, what is there to analyze?
We'll find out what there is to analyze. Wait, have you seen the Schaefer List Productions videos of Ratatouille?
I have. Have you seen the Danny Gonzalez ones?
No, but I want to. Yeah, they have really funny thumbnails.
Sorry.
No, we have to.
I think it was Raccoonie.
Sorry. Yeah, Raccoonie. Yeah, it was interesting between that and the sausage fingers one that they like both started off as jokes and then they like tried to have serious dramatic tension between them. And personally, I think that they pulled it off with the sausage fingers one. Like, I really felt the relationship between Evelyn and Jamie Lee Curtis.
I personally enjoyed it when the raccoon wanted to murder her.
Did the raccoon want to murder her?
He made the guy pull a knife.
Oh, and it was like, get her.
Hilarious.
She knows
like
too much.
They were like singing like a Disney song. I was like, this is a Pixar movie.
Were they singing?
They were like singing. I was like, you and me together. Oh my God, she's seen too much. Grabs a kitchen knife.
Yeah. I mean, I personally thought that there were like too many cuts to the raccoonie stuff. I don't know. I feel like they could have just like either made it serious or like made it fully jokey. But like when what's his name? Ratatouille man was like crying about Ratatouille going away. It was like joke crying. I was like, I could feel this if you like serious cried. But
I don't know. I liked the raccoon.
Yeah.
I thought it was very funny.
Really?
I didn't like the sausage one. But no,
I was just uncomfortable. Like, I think it made sense and I understand why it was there.
Yeah. But it was so truly disturbing blessed. When they were like eating each other's fingers and there was like mustard going on.
Yeah, I was confused. Confused at that.
But it was good that when they showed them watching that film in like the first scene when it was normal, and then to like explain the sausage finger culture, they showed the sausage finger version of the film.
Yeah. I liked her being a Peking opera singer.
Oh yeah.
I thought that was cool. Also, it's not her real voice. I Googled it. It's not her singing. I was very sad about that.
So what do you think about the message that, like, in your, like, alternate lives, like, you could have been doing really good?
I don't think that's the message of the movie.
Well, I mean, yeah, because even in one of the alternate lives, like, the opera singer version is, like, to the...
You know, it is that you could be possibly living the worst version of your life. But I think it's so, like... poignant. I know I've used that word before, but I'm trying not to reuse words. But
that must be very hard.
I know. But like, especially in like the age of the internet. Like I remember being like 12 or something and having an existential crisis about like, well, these Disney stars are more successful than me.
Yeah,
and I'm never going to be famous and I'm never going to be like work in the industry that I want or do what I want to do. But like that's insane because I was 12.
Yeah.
And no 12-year-old should be like thinking about something like that. But I think that you just see so many people getting famous for like ridiculous stuff and like you're never going to be able to do what they're doing. You're never going to be the most successful at something. And I think that's what this movie is about. It's like, you just gotta kind of live the life you're in and be happy with it, which maybe is a little bit capitalist accepting now I'm thinking about it, but I think it's more philosophically accepting it, not in the system.
I see. So less like Duma give up and more don't despair.
I think it's finding that it's not like that typical message of like, oh, you can be great and you can achieve the American dream and you can like get out there and become rich and famous. It's like, you're probably not going to, and most people don't. So look around you and find joy within like the life you're living, because there is some. And I think it follows the idea of the absurdist hero from philosophy, where this guy is pushing a boulder up a hill every day. And he, at the end of the day, has to watch it roll down. It's an idea from Greek mythology. It's supposed to be a punishment. But the idea of the absurdist hero is someone who can do that and finds joy in it and like is happy with his life.
Sorry, low-hanging fruit.
Damn synonyms.
So surely that was it purposeful, do you think?
That her name is Joy.
Yeah, I wonder what the purpose of the name Evelyn was. Like, I couldn't tell.
I know what it is in Incredibles 2.
Yeah. Evil Endeavor. Yeah.
No, I don't know. The name, I think it was just a name.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite character?
Joy.
Really?
I just think her actress is so good.
Oh, she was my least favorite.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I found like she felt like kind of like a cartoon nerd villain. If you know what I mean.
Nerd.
Yeah.
According to my calculation, all known universes are in the next
quadrant. I love how you're not pushing glasses up your nose, you're just pushing your nose.
I forgot about that.
Like, it's supposed to be like this?
Yeah. I was just pushing my nose up my head.
It's gonna make no sense to anyone listening. You're just like a button just going at it.
Oh, man. But no, I really like Waymond.
Oh, well, yeah. Fair.
You know, he's going to be a Loki. Season 2 of Loki.
He's going to be in it.
Yeah, he's an actor. Wow. He hasn't had work for 20 years because he was in Goonies and Indiana, that one kid in Indiana Jones.
I thought I recognized him from it.
Like when he was like a small child. But no one would cast him. So he's been working behind the scenes in Hollywood for a really long time. But he was fantastic in this movie. And apparently, to prepare, he chose animals for his two characters. And as our Earth's Wayman, he ran around as a squirrel to try and embody the character, which I think kind of worked because you can see his physicality change when he goes between characters.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. A part of me, like, did not realize that they were the same actor until right now.
Well, good on him. But person that's part of the plot.
Yeah, damn. Yeah, wait, yeah, they are literally the same, but they're like completely different people.
Yeah.
Alpha Wayman and real Wayman.
And then you also have like Rich Wayman.
Oh, yeah. He looked a lot buffer than the other two Waymans. I was like...
I don't think he was buffer. I think he just had a tight suit on.
Really?
Okay. I don't know how he would have gained muscle mass in between shoots.
Yeah, I mean, but sometimes actors do wild things. Like you know, like Stranger Things season 4 when Hopper has his hair cut off?
Yeah.
And then like later he has it not cut. Like, is he wearing a wig or did they, like, wait?
It was filmed over a long... Wait, what are you talking about? Like, flashbacks? Because you can film out of order. So you just film the bits before he shaves his head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes no sense.
I was going to bring up the fact that the original Spider-Man... You know when he looks in the mirror the first time and he's all skinny and then he looks and he's got a six pack the next day?
Yeah.
those were 6 months apart and they broke off filming so that he could go get a six pack and then they started filming again.
Whoa.
That is an example of actors changing their bodies mid-shoot. But nowadays, I think if they were to do that, they just do CGI like they did with Captain America.
Oh, his abs aren't real.
Because his abs are real. His tiny body isn't real in the first Avengers movie. Captain America First Avenger. Because you know how he's like skinny Steve?
Sure. I haven't seen it.
He's like a foot shorter.
Oh, is he?
It's not his real body.
Okay. Yeah. He's just like, okay, come back in 6 months when you've grown.
Carry on growing. Yeah. I feel like they wanted to tell Robert Downey Jr. to do that because they kept on putting heels on it.
Did they really?
Watch Iron Man 2 and watch out for his high-heeled boots. They're hilarious. Like, he's wearing platformed high-heeled boots and it's so funny when you spot them.
Wow.
He's short. He's really short.
Is he? How...
I think he's like an inch or two taller than Tom Holland and he's tiny.
Really?
They're below 6 foot. It's like, that's pretty tall.
6 foot?
Yeah, they're below that.
Okay.
But it's just because lots of people in Hollywood are like tall.
Are they? Know? Anyway, why is Tobu Tabaki nerd? Jobu Tabaki.
That's it.
Jobu Tabaki.
I mean, you've got the same problem as Evelyn there.
why is she nerd emoji?
No,
please,
I guess...
Please never say that again.
No, she's not really nerd. She's like... She felt like the villain that you kind of hate because they do loads of horrible things and mainly hate because they're just, like, annoying. And they're like... She seems to have, like, loads of confidence in her villain self just from being an annoying villain.
Well, I feel like she had confidence because nothing mattered. And that's why she was murdering people so much. It's because, like, if nothing matters, there's no consequence to your actions. So you just have, like, complete...
Yeah, but I don't know. It seems like, why go to that much effort if nothing matters?
Because she was trying to find her mum.
Because she wanted her to experience everything so that Evelyn could tell her, no, it's okay. You can experience stuff.
Yeah, like, she kind of... I guess when you're going through something really bad, you kind of go back to like that child experience of like, I just kind of want to go to my parents for comfort.
Aww.
And then Evelyn didn't find anything different at first. And she's like, well, at least I don't have to die alone, which is very sad.
Yeah. I mean, I was confused. How come she killed like the first Evelyn that they body jumped into?
Because she was trying to do the same thing that Evelyn did to her to like overwhelm her mind. And so you could see she flicked through tons of different realities and then her mind just blew, like she just died. So she was trying to do the same process that Evelyn did to her when she put it on and it did too much.
Oh, did Evelyn do that to Joy later?
She does it at the beginning. It's how Jobu Tabaki was formed. You know, with the helmet.
Oh.
Like her mind was fractured because she was overwhelmed by information. So she was trying to do that with other Evelyns, but they weren't holding up.
I see. Yeah, I mean, okay, speaking about, like, the end of the film, so do they just, like, live, like, still seeing everything everywhere all at once?
I'm a little... I guess, like, the concept is, like, a little bit confusing of, like, does she pick which Evelyn she's in, or are they literally experiencing everything everywhere all at once?
Yeah.
Like, is she all Evelyn's all the time? Because that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, I mean...
I guess it's like picking to concentrate on something.
Maybe, because before, basically when they like hug and like make up, like they like, it stops snapping, right? It like stays inside that one moment. Like before that, it's like snapping a bunch between different things, like flickering
a lot. Yeah, but they talk like they're not 100% aware of it almost. Like it flips between them talking about the party and their relevant lives from that universe.
Yeah.
And it mirrors the overall thing. So I think they are experiencing every universe and they can just pick to concentrate on one.
Okay.
I think. Because she's hearing all the noises at the end. She like purposely shuts them out. So I guess it's...
Yeah. I mean, do you think that's kind of grim that like she's just like stuck hearing like all the other voices for like the rest of time?
I guess it's supposed to be mirroring society. Like of... we can't turn off the internet, and I doubt anyone is going to turn off the internet. Like, you do have to just live with a lot of noise and, like, knowing too much information at a young age or, like, constantly being aware of like atrocities. I can't pronounce words. Bad stuff across the world.
It seems funny the way that at the end, like after fighting with her daughter for the whole film, she just like hugs and then they make up and then it's fine.
I think they were like fighting though.
They were pretty mad at each other.
I think, was Evelyn mad at Joy? She wanted to stop Joby DeParkey because she thought she was harming her version of Joy and her daughter. I don't think she was ever mad at her.
But Joy was furious. She despised them.
But then you find out that she was actually looking for an Evelyn, so she never really hated. I think it's a bit more complicated. Like, I don't think, especially with like abusive parents, not that I don't think Evelyn was like completely abusive, but they still look for validation in their parents. Like, you don't stop loving your mum just because she's an awful person. Like, there's more, sorry, still ill. There's more complication to the relationship. What do you think of the outfits? I really like Joby's outfits.
Yeah, they were cool.
Yeah, no, it was good that each character had their own colour scheme.
Yes.
And then it was cool when they all wore red in that scene where everything was red.
Yeah, that was nice. Oh, wait, you mean in the Chinese party?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then can I just point out the amount of bagels, like bagel circles in this thing? Like, they were always just a black circle in the back of scenes.
Really?
Yeah. So it took me a while to realise that, like, the circle on everyone's forehead was the bagel.
And
like,
her hair.
Oh, yeah, then, yeah. The that white world with the hair bagel, that was awesome.
There was a statue in the back of the room where she beats up all those guys with the shield.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There, when she's getting the receipts, there's a big black circle.
Yeah. There's a lot of... What?
Jamie Lee Curtis's circle. Yeah, she's drawing big black circles. Yeah,
there's a lot of fight scenes in the movie.
They're done by YouTubers. There's these two YouTube pair, and they're the, you know, the two guys who get statues up there. But
yeah,
those are the choreographers, and they're YouTube. They do like YouTube fights, or they like do karate on YouTube.
Interesting. Okay, because I was that seemed impossible to choreograph. Like especially some of the ones had like such tremendously complex scenes. Yeah,
it was really, really well done.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, I liked. They were very inventive with the way that they used the props. This movie was originally written for Jackie Chang.
Yeah.
And it was given to Michelle Yeoh. But she's very famous for martial art movies because obviously you have, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Hidden Dragon, Crouching Tiger, I think it is, which is a very famous, you're nodding, you know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very famous for its wire work as well, which they did quite a lot of in this movie. And obviously there are references to Kill Bill in here.
Obviously.
You know, with the training sequences.
One thing I'm wondering about with the end of the movie is, like, so the dad, like, isn't a verse jumper. How do you think that, like...
affects their family dynamic.
But isn't he the one who puts the googly eyes on everything?
No.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was putting, like, the googly eye on, like, a lantern.
Yeah, he was. Or because he does it on the laundry at the beginning.
Oh.
Yeah. Does that mean that
no more googly eyes is what she yells as she grabs the two things off. And he it's like his form of making joy in little things, which I think is the message of the movie.
Does that mean he's
God?
The reverse of
he's God. That's our theory.
Tabaki Jobu.
Yeah, because if the googly eyes are the opposite of the bagels and whatever she's called,
Jobu Tabaki.
Yeah. if she's making the bagels and the dad's making the googly eyes,
it all cancels out and forms an actual black hole and they get sucked into it.
or a white hole and like Earth's come out of it.
It's like the opposite of dark matter.
Yeah, light matter.
Actual matter.
Yeah. I wouldn't quite want like a infinite matter coming into my universe personally.
I think that would be a bit distressing.
Yeah.
Isn't that what threatens to happen in Spider-Man No Way?
Well, no, those are just a bunch of other random Spider-Mans, but
because they say that it's going to be a ton of villains coming through.
Yeah.
And that it's everyone who knows that he's Spider-Man, but that's like, because it's the multiverse, that could be everyone, everything everywhere at once.
Hey.
I'm surprised that they didn't say that.
I'm glad
the phrase.
Didn't.
I know. When she kept on saying.
But it was the titles of the part.
Yeah. That was good. But like there was so many bits when like the characters would say everything, and then they could say everywhere all at once.
It's ruined my life.
Yeah.
Oh, well, whenever people say
I can't say the word everything or everywhere.
Oh,
and
no.
I have to finish it. It's like this weird impulse now.
It's a great title, though. My God, can you imagine being the guy who thought of that title? Infinite elation forever.
Like, yeah, I think they're called the Daniel.
maybe it was some random intern or something, right?
Can we just talk about the fact that random people getting together and just naming themselves like brothers or like groups just because they have the same name, like the Duffer Brothers? They're not brothers.
No,
they're not related at
no,
all.
No, don't tell me that. That's
they're
what,
not related.
No.
They're just both called Duffer.
Don't tell me that.
The Daniels. They're just both called Daniel. They're not related in any way. I don't know why people keep on doing this. It's so odd.
I mean, if you find someone,
the Russos are related. The Russos are related. Joe and Anthony are actually brothers.
But the Duffer Brothers aren't.
The Duffer Brothers aren't related. They are just both called Duffer.
Oh, is that legal?
But legal? What? You mean how is it legal?
Imagine if you found someone else called Space. Wouldn't you call yourself the Space Brother?
No. No.
I'd call myself astronauts. No.
Yeah, it would be some pun, but like something subtle enough such that most people wouldn't be like, lol.
I think it's quite a unique name. Like, you'd struggle to find another person named Space.
Yeah, except...
All your relatives.
To be continued. Something, what were we talking about?
Should we, I think...
Oh yeah, time to wrap it.
Yeah, do you want to just quickly go through any recommendations you have for people?
Oh,
I feel like that could be an interesting way to finish.
Don't we give our final rankings?
Oh yeah, yes, okay, what do you think of the movie?
Okay, I give it a like 9 out of 10.
I disagree with ranking system. I think that reducing stuff down to numbers is really odd. I liked the movie, and I think I'm going to do a would recommend or not recommend system.
Sounds like an ace, though.
I would recommend it. I'm not going to rank it because I feel like if it's like a Spider-Man movie or like an MCU movie, then I could give it a really high ranking because I think it's good for that, what it is. But like,
yeah,
this is a different type of movie. I go watch it.
Okay, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, so I'm just going to say would recommend.
What?
No, give your actual opinion. Come on, you German 1930s film buff.
I thought it was good. I'd say probably 8 or 9 out of 10. And a film I'd recommend based on this, I'd recommend 2001 Space Odyssey.
That's fair.
I'd recommend Rick and Morty. Like, I think Rick
okay.
and Morty is like the only other like as serious look into like multiverse stuff.
Yeah. This isn't related to this movie. I just watched Don't Worry Darling recently, and so I'm going to recommend Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh yeah.
Because that Don't Worry Darling reminded me of it.
I do want to watch Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
It's really
reference.
Good. Yeah, that's what I'm recommending. It's nothing to do with this movie whatsoever.
Yeah.
Actually, it is kind of, the messaging, I think, is quite similar to this movie, just in terms of, like, tone. I think it's tonally very similar. There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we need to go because I missed class.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, thank you for listening to a currently unnamed film podcast. Do we reintroduce ourselves? I'm Jessica.
I am Hanma.
And I've been Space.
He's no longer Space.